This morning we continue the exposition of the law of God. We are up to the fourth commandment, which reads, "Thou shalt not take the, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." In that connection, we read from Holy Scripture, first of all, from Matthew chapter 12, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12. And then we're going to read a passage out of Hebrews 4. First of all, then, Matthew 12, beginning at verse 1. "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" that they might accuse him. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." Then saith he to the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. And now we read from Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Hebrews 4, the first verse. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, and that reference is to Joshua, the Old Testament successor of Moses, for if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. It's on the basis of this passage, to which we shall refer presently in the sermon, as well as Matthew 12. Again, we will refer to that as well. That is based the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism. Along with that, I want to call your attention to one other verse, the 25th of Hebrews 10, where we are exhorted in verse 24, to provoke one another to love and good works. And this is how we do that. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I can't help but comment a moment on what I heard concerning one of the local churches in this area, that is presently at the level of the consistory, discussing whether or not to continue the evening service. And the preacher and the majority of the elders of that church want to discontinue the evening service. One of the men who wants that service to continue was told this by his preacher. In a moment of anger, the preacher shoved the Bible across the table and said, "You show me where Scripture says we need to go to church twice on Sunday." Well, here's the verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. All these passages and many others in God's Word form the basis of the instruction of the Catechism in Lord's Day 38, where we read in question 103, what doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Holiday or holy day? What is it for you this day, Sunday? I know that the root meaning of both of those words, holiday and holy day, is the same. Understand that. I'm using the word holiday not in the sense of holy day, but in the sense in which the folks in the British Isles and Australia and elsewhere use that word to refer to a vacation, a day of vacation. Holiday in which we do pretty much as we please, sightseeing, going to the beach presently when the summer is upon us, or what have you, sporting events and other things, or holy day. What is Sunday for you? I remember growing up on the northeast end of Grand Rapids as a little boy, when Sunday rolled around, everything was closed pretty much in Grand Rapids. All businesses, the stores, the only place open for 2 hours late on Sunday morning was the local drugstore. The pharmacist would go in and fill a few prescriptions that needed to be filled on Sunday for people who took ill that day. Otherwise, everything was closed. I also remember in the warm summer Sunday afternoons having my nose pressed against the screen door, not being allowed to set foot outside to play with the neighbor kids who didn't go to church or were Roman Catholics. Couldn't play outside on Sunday. It was a quiet day. No work, no play. Just church and Sunday school. Two long services and Sunday school. How is it for us today? This fourth commandment marks the conclusion of the first table of the law, called by Jesus the first and great commandment. According to commandment one, we are to know the one true and living God, trust in Him, submit to Him, expect all good from Him, and glorify Him alone. According to commandment number two, we are to worship Him, as He has commanded us in His Word, especially not by the dumb images of Roman Catholicism, but by the lively preaching of His Word. Commandment number three instructs us to use the holy name of God with fear and reverence, so that He may be rightly confessed by us and worshiped by us. And thus, knowing God, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, and confessing His name aright, we are led into the rest of the eternal Sabbath. It's possible that you are a bit puzzled by the Catechism's explanation of the fourth commandment. It perhaps is contrary to our notions of what Sunday is all about and how it is to be observed. We think of Sunday as a special day of the week to be observed according to a rigid set of rules. And our rules are largely negative. We must go to church twice. We must study the Bible, perhaps learn our catechism lessons if we are children and youth. And we must spend time in prayer and meditation with the Word of God. For the rest, we must not go joyriding. We must not allow the children to play, especially outside. And we must not do this, and we must not do that, or the next thing. And the evil result of all this is that we might become Sunday Christians. That's the day to be religious, you see. For the rest of the week, well, we can pretty much live as does the rest of the world, going about our work, our school, our play, whatever. But you say, doesn't the commandment rather sharply forbid all working? Yes, of course, thou shalt not do any work. The commandment is pretty specific. What is there about that language that we don't understand? And that's negative. We must labor for 6 days, and we must cease working on the seventh. And we must do that because the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. And it's exactly what the Catechism understands so very clearly. God has given us rest, the rest of communion and fellowship with Him, our Father, the God of our salvation, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross and resurrection. A foretaste of that rest we have on the Lord's Day by means of the ministry of the Word and the administration of the sacraments, and here especially in the communion of the saints. For that reason, the ministry of the gospel and the schools must be maintained. And we are called of God diligently to frequent the house of God. And precisely in that way do we begin the eternal Sabbath already in this life. And our entire life, every day of the week, is principally the life of the Sabbath. And so I call your attention to Sunday, holiday or holy day. And we consider the idea of the Sabbath and then observing the Sabbath. As to its idea, the central meaning of the Sabbath needs to be found in the fact that it is the rest of God. That's evident from the commandment itself. In fact, this is the meaning of the English word Sabbath as it's derived from the Hebrew Shabbat, which means rest. It has its beginning in the rest of God on the seventh day of the creation week. 6 days the Lord was busy with the work of creation. On the seventh day, God ended his work, and he rested, and he blessed that day, and he hallowed it, that is, set it apart as a holy day, a day set apart. And this is the ground, the foundation upon which rests the requirement of the fourth commandment of God's law of liberty. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In it thou shalt not do any work. Why? For what reason? For, because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's why. Now, what's the idea of rest? What are we talking about here? It's not idleness. That first of all. Some imagine, for example, that by sleeping all Sunday afternoon, they are keeping the Sabbath day. Not so. In fact, if that's all we do on Sunday afternoon is sleep, it could very well be Sabbath desecration. Something that belongs to our own works, you see. True enough. The commandment specifies that we cease from our work. But that doesn't mean idleness, slothfulness, idleness. That's always condemned by God. The commandment does say, after all, and I was reminded of that by one of the good brothers in the second congregation I served before I came to the seminary. Remember, Reverend, the commandment does say, 6 days thou shalt labor. Doesn't say five, it says six. And he was right. However that may be, idleness, inactivity, is impossible anyway. And the idea of the rest of the Lord's day is not merely that we cease from all our work. That was the error of the Pharisees, after all. They forbade all work, fine and dandy, but they even forbade works of mercy and imagined that they kept the Sabbath day holy. And so when the disciples were picking corn on the Lord's day, or when Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, they criticized them for disobeying the commandments of God. And Jesus had to remind them that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath, and that God said, I will have mercy and not formal sacrifice. And just as David, busy in the Lord's work, and his men ate of the showbread in the temple, so the disciples, in order that they might accompany Jesus in the preaching of the word and in the healing mercies that he was to perform as the Son of God in our flesh, were eating corn. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And the point is that one might completely refrain from all daily work and still find, or still, I should say, fill the Sabbath with his own works, his own pleasures, and thus fail to keep it as the holy day. The idea of the fourth commandment is, first of all, that we cease from our labors in order to be busy enjoying the rest of God. What is that? Well, the late Reverend Herman Hoeksema, you can look it up in his exposition of the Catechism, if you're so inclined, defined rest as entering into the enjoyment of a finished work. That's the rest of God. And we should understand that God is never idle. With all his glorious and wonderful virtues and being, God is unceasingly and perfectly active. He never ceases. He never toils. He never labors. He never struggles to accomplish his work. His work is always eternally perfect and finished. And as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God enjoys the perfection of all his works and lives a life of communion and fellowship within the unity of his own perfect being. That's the rest of God, his covenant communion and fellowship. It is that rest which God, in his amazing love, determined to give his chosen in Jesus Christ. A foretaste of that rest we are given on the Lord's Day when we have communion with God and our fellow saints by means of his word and sacrament. May I be a little personal? My wife, almost out of the blue, came walking into the kitchen this morning as I was getting my morning coffee, and she said to me with a tear or two, 6 years ago, the Lord took my mother. I said, yes, now I remember. And I said to Marilyn, she's happy now. She's resting with the Lord. How true that is for the child of God. I have just one question at this point. Why in the wide world would you want to stay home from church rather than have a foretaste of rest with God? Why? That's the idea, you see, of the fourth commandment. This is what Scripture says about it. A foretaste, a picture God gave us in paradise. 6 days. God created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them, rested on the seventh, his completed work of creation. He blessed that day. He made that day holy, literally hallowed that day. That's the meaning. It became a Sabbath, a rest for you and me. We were to enter into the enjoyment of that rest at the end of our labors, all week long. We were created thus in the image of God and after his likeness to have communion and fellowship with him. That's what his rest is all about. After consecrating in all our labors all week long, all things in God's creation to his service, to his glory, we enter into the rest. But we fell, and we chose through our first parents the toil and the labor and the hell of sin and death. But God spoke of another day because we couldn't frustrate God's plan. God finished the work of creation. He rested on the seventh day, and though man fell and that rest appeared forever lost, God provided a better thing for us, his eternal covenant of fellowship with himself through Jesus. in the glory of a new creation, of which paradise the first was just a picture. When the picture was taken away by our sin and our death, God began to reveal the rest. Beautiful picture. He gave us in Canaan. That was the land of rest. Out of Egypt's bondage, He redeemed us, a type of the bondage of sin and death. He led His people through the wilderness, the waste, howling wilderness, gave them His law as the tutor to lead them to Christ, fed them with manna, and gave them water out of the rock. He caused a dry path for them through the Jordan, and Jericho's walls were made to fall. He defeated all their enemies before them and brought them into the land promised to Father Abraham, a picture of the rest of the heavenly Canaan. Canaan was a Sabbath land. The heart of it lay in the tabernacle and in the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt between the cherubim and in the Ark of the Covenant. There God was pleased, in type and shadow, to live in the midst of His people. But Canaan wasn't the final rest. God spoke of yet another day, and that day is the day of the eternal rest. The temple was just a picture of the New Jerusalem. The blood of bulls and goats, that could not make perfect. It all pointed to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who brings God's church into the heavenly rest. And the rest of heaven has been attained, people of God. Jesus came. We're going to celebrate that, especially Friday next, God willing. He labored as our head and Savior and substitute. He fought the battle against sin and Satan. And with all our guilt upon Him, He poured out His lifeblood as atonement for our sins. And He died. And He was buried. But God raised Him from the dead on the first day of the week. He finished the work of redemption. He attained the rest of life with God. The day of rest dawned that first Easter morn. And on the other side of the empty grave, the heavenly side, stands Jesus proclaiming the victory to all the saints of God. Rest from all your labor and toil of sin and death. Come unto me, He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give thee rest. And we hear His voice. Oh yes, we do. My sheep hear My voice today and alway by means of the preaching of the Word. And hearing it, we come, drawn by irresistible grace. And we come to Jesus and we find rest. Right now, we have a foretaste, just the foretaste. Through the Word and by the sacraments, we're justified, we have peace with God, and we experience His blessing and favor. And yet, we await the perfection of it all. We're still strangers, oh yes. We're still in a strange land. Day after day, we still have to put off the old man and put on the new. But the Word of God stands. There remaineth, we read it out of Hebrews 4, there remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. To you, people of God, the rest of heavenly glory, the rest of the end of our sinning, and the end of our dying, and the end of all our tears and sufferings. That'll be ours. Either when the Lord takes us from this life into His presence through death, or when Jesus comes again at the end of the ages. And so, on the first day of the week, Sunday, we gather to celebrate the attaining of the victory through the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come in order to be filled with His Word and Holy Spirit. We come in order thus to begin in this life the eternal Sabbath all the days of our pilgrimage. How do we observe that day then? It means we labor. Labor, yes, to enter into the rest, that communion with God. As God's redeemed, God's friends in the midst of this world of sin and death, we live in thankfulness for the wonder of salvation. And according to the Scriptures, and this is the answer of the Catechism as well, we cease from our own evil works and enter into His rest. We labor lest we fall after the same example of unbelief as did so many in Israel who perished on the doorstep of Canaan in the wilderness on account of unbelief. We are to live as God's children in the midst of this world. In this respect, there's no difference between one day or another. This isn't just for Sunday, and then we live as we please the rest of the week. Oh no. This remains the fact, however. God did give us one day in seven for this very purpose. The seventh day of the week in the Old Testament era, fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross and resurrection, now celebrated on the first day of the week in the New Testament era. What a blessing that is when you think of it. How necessary for us poor sinners, the things of this life, the tensions, the anxieties, our daily work, our cares, all have the tendency to draw our attention away from God's rest, from our calling. So many things to be concerned about. The battle against sin, the Satan, the world of unbelief all about us, our own sinful flesh. That battle is difficult. It's severe. How often don't we grow weary as our sins, we confess with the psalmist, rise up against us, prevailing day by day. How good it is that God gave to us a day in which those earthly things are put aside, and we can go up to God's own house and with His saints be refreshed by the living stream of His Word. And what a tragic shame to desecrate that day and refuse to use it as God intended. Hear this Word of God, congregation. Hear it. God says, not a preacher, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And God does not come to us with a long list of don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do that. Or the next thing. Then you faithfully keep the Sabbath holy. The Lord isn't concerned with what we may not do so much. He lays emphasis on what we must do as His people. Yes, we must cease from all our daily work. 6 days we must labor, working with our hands the thing which is good. Then we don't steal, and we have something to give to to those in need. Faithfully, we fulfill our calling. And on the seventh day, now the first day of the week, we cease from all those labors and we rest, just as God did Himself when He rested on that seventh day of the first week. Several things that means. It means that we may not do as we please on the Lord's day. Yes, there is a negative side to this commandment. Of course there is. It's the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It was made for man, but exactly so that man could rest. The Son of Man is indeed the Lord of the Sabbath. That's what observing that day is all about. The question then isn't whether or not it's okay to play catch with your son or daughter, or watch Michigan State this afternoon in its pursuit of the national title, or do this, or do that, or not do the next thing. You may do all these things and more, providing that in the doing of them, you enjoy the rest of God. That answers the question, doesn't it? This is what counts. Can you enjoy God's fellowship watching a basketball game this afternoon? Can you enjoy God's fellowship playing Scrabble or Monopoly or what have you with the children? Can you enjoy God's fellowship watching a movie or some other attraction on the television? Are you laboring to enter the rest of God's covenant by going to bed and catching up on lost sleep all afternoon, or because you were out way too late last night? The answer to all of these questions and a host more is that obviously and absolutely you can't. You can't keep the Lord's Day as it was intended. Keep it holy. That means that the ministry and of the gospel and the schools be maintained. Our fathers correctly meant by that the ministry of the church, what goes on every Lord's Day, and the church's seminary must be maintained. Without them, that is, without the ministry of the Word, there can be no Sabbath rest. That means, and this is for the elders especially, but all of us, bothers me to no end that some of the pastors don't pray for the seminary in the congregational prayers. That's wrong. I remember distinctly that my pastors in First Church when I was growing up never neglected to do that. And one of the prayers on the Lord's Day, and in the early days there were four services, so that meant one of the Dutch and one of the English services, the congregational prayer included, without fail, a petition for the seminary. Do you care about the rest of God? Do you want that for your children? God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who, with true thankfulness, continually ask them of Him. Pray then for the seminary, that it be maintained as a place where men, godly men, faithful men,
are trained to give their lives in the service of God's church as preachers. Without them, there can't be any Sabbath on this earth. And then it means, too, that I diligently frequent the house of God whenever divine worship services are held. Good Friday, yes, and prayer day too, but especially on the Lord's Day. What is lawful? Doing good on the Sabbath. What is lawful? Serving the Lord. That's why the disciples were busy picking the corn and eating it so as to be strengthened in order to serve the Lord. To hear His word, that's what I must do on the Lord's day. Use the sacraments. Preaching, the chief means of grace. The sacraments, they are the means by which God works His grace in our hearts, enabling us to begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. No Sabbath rest apart from that. Today, if ye here in Trinity Church will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Labor to enter into the rest, lest you fall after the same example of unbelief that prevented so many in Israel of old from that rest. Don't stay away from church. Don't come to the Lord's house only once when you could come twice. The Word of God, yes, it's quick, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We need the preaching, pure preaching. Apart from it, we will fall and will never enter the rest of God. That's why we need a faithful seminary too. Use the Sabbath then, use it, the Sabbath of the Lord our God, to attain that rest. In effect, when you desecrate the Sabbath, you're saying to the Lord, I don't want your rest. I don't care about your rest. Then what the Lord has to say to you is this: it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That goes for all of us. We never miss a day of work if we can possibly help it. But at the slightest real or imaginary ache or pain, we can't make it to church. In obedience to the fourth commandment of God's law, we'll be diligent to frequent the house of God. We'll not let the poor go a-begging. We'll contribute to their relief. Publicly, we'll call upon the name of the Lord, and we'll sit at His feet to hear His voice. These things will be first in our lives, and we'll begin this way the eternal Sabbath by ceasing from our own evil works through daily repentance. That is our life, isn't it? Then we're praying and we're looking too for Jesus to return. And our Sundays won't be days of naps and novel reading and recreation and playing, traveling and what have you. They will be days, holy days, in which we busy ourselves with God and His word. So that exhausted, as Reverend C. Hanko, one of my pastors, used to say, so that exhausted we'll fall into bed on Sunday night in order to arise on Monday to begin the eternal Sabbath. We may be absolutely sure of attaining that rest. It can't fail. There does remain a rest to the people of God, and that rest will be glory. What is Sunday for you? A holiday or a holy day? Amen.